Greetings and good morning again. At that time, open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1. This morning we will bring to conclusion our series on the book of Proverbs. This will be message number 67. We've been at it over a year. And a lot of wonderful truths in this book. We will look at the passage in a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to be with us. Father, it's always good to be together, to worship You, to sing Your praise, to pray, to hear Your word read and preached and expounded. Now, Lord, may we respond to Your word in the spirit of humility, in the spirit of submission, that we would recognize its authority and that it would speak and move and challenge us to be all that we can be for Your glory. We thank You for the series that we have had in this wonderful and instructive book known as Proverbs. And so, Father, as we come to its conclusion and look one last time back at all that we have looked at and heard and learned, may we one more time seal and nail down and firmly plant within our hearts and minds some key vital principles that we must never forget and ever be mindful of them to apply them to our life. Father, we long to honor and glorify You. Lord, when You saved us, there is no doubt it would have been easier and better to worship You up there, but You left us here. You left us here for a reason, not only to worship You and to show a lost and dying world, Your people, who should be always looking upward, living a life that is only can be explained by the transformation of the Holy Spirit work within the person as a result of the salvation that came about by faith alone in Christ alone and His perfect and sufficient work on Calvary. And so, Father, we pray again, be with us. May we glorify You in all that we do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It is no secret that Proverbs is my favorite book in the Bible, so with much sadness, I am coming to an end of a lifelong desire to preach this book. And there is a lot of things we have learned, as you will hear in a moment. There was a lot we could have continued to learn. But by way of review and conclusion, it's important. I've always felt uncomfortable when you come to the last chapter and the last verse of that chapter and say, the end, you go on launching into the next book instead of taking one last look and looking back at what we've learned to try to pick up those pieces, because sometimes our mind is a little forgetful, a little slippery. And so I want to kind of nail down and screw into your head some key points you must never forget anytime you hear Proverbs or you come in your scriptural, devotional reading and you read Proverbs, that you need to have the principles. So by way of review and coming to the conclusion, point number one, we need to meditate on Proverbs to gain wisdom. I know that's a given, that it's easy, but I want to give you some reason and to remind you of the motive that we may have forgotten. As I've stated, we have just spent a year in this book, and let's remember it's important and why we need to read it, study it, and meditate on it for the rest of our lives. Why is this book, am I urging you to read, study, and meditate daily, where I wouldn't say that for many of the other books of the Bible? First and most important reason, it is the most practical book in all the Old Testament, if not the Bible. It is extremely practical, very down to earth, tells us how to live in a way that pleaded God and honored Him. It teaches us how to live in the world for God. When you compare Psalms with Proverbs, Psalm teaches us how to worship God in every situation. Proverbs instructed us how to get along with others in God's way with His blessing. Please remember that, because one of the key things that when you decide to heed wisdom's invitation to walk the life of wisdom, you're going to follow a certain path that God will bless you along the way. That's what Proverbs did. It instructed how to get along with others. His way, not your way, not the world's way, not what I feel like at the moment, but His way, which is guided and driven by principles, and that flowed from His character, which would be consistent. Psalm shows us how to humble ourselves and to pray alone with our God. Proverbs, on the other hand, instructed how to walk in the fear of the Lord with fellow sinners. We live in a cursed world. We live among sinners. Sometimes we forget that we were born into sin. The heart is desperately wicked, and who should know it? But Proverbs teaches us how to walk in the fear of the Lord in the midst. One of the best books ever written on Proverbs was an 18th century Scottish preacher by the name of William Arnott. The title of his book or his commentary is spot on in light of what I've just been trying to tell you. He titled his commentary on Proverbs, Laws from Heaven for Life on Earth. Laws from Heaven for Life on Earth. That's what Proverbs is all about. Let us remember where the Proverbs in this book came from. They came from Solomon. God had given Solomon great wisdom and discernment more than anybody. When he was granted the one wish that most of us wish we can have and most likely would get it wrong, Solomon was given, you can have anything you want. What do you want? And he asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him. And because he asked for wisdom, God gave him other things as well, as the blessing that flows from having wisdom. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29 and 30, it says this about Solomon. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding or discernment and largeness of heart, like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. Beloved, wisdom is the greatest gift that God can give to us outside of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Why is that? Yes, we know God can give us wealth, but without wisdom, we would not know how to rightly use it, and most likely would lose it all. How many times have we read the story of people who win the lottery? We'll put aside the gambling question, but win the lottery, and they get all this money, and they're broke within years. And a lot of times, broken. But they didn't have the wisdom to handle it. Wisdom is the greatest gift we could have. Sure, God can give it popularity and influence, but without wisdom, we would be crushed by the inability to cope with such pressure that comes with such popularity and influence. Look at all the wealthy people, the influential and extremely popular people across the board, from athlete to movie star to music artist. And they can't cope with that pressure because they don't have the wisdom how to live in that context. To get through life most of the time, they go through multiple marriages, multiple relationships. They try all kinds of different drugs, anything to just get through when they really needed wisdom. Wisdom that comes from God. Certainly God can give us a long life. I know the older we get, sometimes we don't always wish that, but a lot of times we do because of the fact that I know for me, being a grandpa is a great thing. Seeing the grandkids and watching them to their next level of achievement and accomplishment. But God can give us a long life. But what would a long life be like without wisdom when we have to live with unwise choices and decisions we have made and the consequences of them. How many times have you seen older people bearing the consequences and the weight of their decisions and their foolish and ways of folly throughout their life, and their life at the end is not good? Why? Because they lack the wisdom that would have guided them through this. So, beloved, with the gift of wisdom, we can have all of these things and know how to rightly use and manage these for God's glory, for our good, and the good of others. Turn with me to Ecclesiastic. I know I told you to go to Proverbs 1, but put your finger in Proverbs 1 and go to Ecclesiastic, which is the next book over. Ecclesiastic chapter 12, last chapter of the book. Something very insightful here. I'm calling your attention to remember to meditate on Proverbs so you can gain wisdom. And I'm trying to motivate you as to why. Here in Ecclesiastic chapter 12, for those taking note, verses 9 through 11. But let's read the first two verses. Ecclesiastic 12, verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher, which is Solomon, was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yet, notice, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright and words of truth. Let it remember what a proverb did. And this verse here, these two verses give us an idea. A proverb, by definition, is a short statement, a lot of times a pithy statement, that declared a profound truth, giving wisdom for life. Let me read that again. A short statement, compact, that declared profound truth, giving wisdom for life. There's the idea of a very compact statement of wisdom. It's amazing that when we went through this book and through this section of a proverb, how so much was said in so few words. They were just packed in. That was their genius. Even he said in Ecclesiastic that he pondered them, he sought out, and he set in order. So it wasn't flippantly handing out homespun remedies or homespun quote and antidote. These were well thought out by the wisest man on earth at the time. From a biblical Godward view, he pondered and meditated and reflected. He sought out, looking for. He didn't want them all originate. He wanted to find out where wisdom can be found. And he set them in order. That's what we have in Proverbs. They're not all of Solomon. We know there are men, other men who helped contribute to some of the Proverbs in the book of Proverbs. But the whole idea is he wanted to find the right acceptable word to communicate words that were upright and words that were truth. That's what a proverb is. So much truth is compacted in so few words that it required time to meditate on them for them to yield their wisdom. You can't read Proverbs and just boom, got it. You need to read, you need to study, you need to meditate, you need to reflect, you need to ponder. And then it will yield its fruit. Then it will yield its wisdom. And I told you we did 67 messages counting this one. Listen to this. In Proverbs 10 through 31, chapter 10 through 31, that's when all of the Proverbs are basically in one after another. There's no passage. Rarely you might get a couple verses or a trio of verses that talk about the same thing. But by and large, they're each verse with a proverb. And even though duets and trios, there's multiple proverbs within those. I counted there were 659 verses, most which contain a proverb each. Beloved, Each proverb is packed with so much wisdom and truth that each one deserves a sermon in and of itself. Now, I just told you we spent a year on 67 messages. If I dealt with every single proverb of every single one of these, we would be in Proverbs for 11 years. That's how much it packed in here. There's no way I can unpack it in a short time. That's why it requires you to read, study, and meditate daily the rest of your life, to learn, meditate, and reflect, and understand, and live out these wonderful proverbs, because they are truly packed in. They are packed in. What was their purpose? What was the goal? You should still be in Ecclesiastes. Now look at verse 11 with me. The words of the wise are like goads, and words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. So we see three things here. We see they act as goads, they act as well-driven nails, and they all come from one shepherd. They act like goads. What are they? These are special instruments that sometimes they were spiked, sometimes they were just a big knotty part of a branch that would constantly to goat the oxen to stay on course and keep motivated in plowing the field. So a goad, by and large, would the prod oxen or to motivate them to keep going and plowing. The proverbs here that we're seeing are effective because the goads were effective on these oxen because they were persistent, because the owner or the farmer that wanted his field plowed, he made sure they stayed on task to plow the field. So they were persistent. Here's another thing that made the goat so effective. The oxen can kick all at one, but it couldn't get to the goat because they were always prodding up above towards the back of the neck and stuff to prod the oxen on. So what God is using by giving a proverb is well-played proverbs in our life to prod us on the right path in life. Not the path of your choosing, not a path that you kind of wander and feel like going into, or that you just kind of spontaneity, flow into, but charting a path that God said, this is the way, walk ye in it. That's what proverbs will do to you. It will help you when you kind of get up. It will goad you to get back in path. Or even more so, when we get sluggish, we get a little lazy, we get a little lackadaisical, and we need a little prodding along to stay on the path. Second thing is, proverbs are like well-driven nails. And I'm known for quoting a Puritan perspective of this. There are well-driven nails. We know nails are good, but one thing that nails have a tendency to do is to back out over time. Puritans said they wanted to screw the tooth into your head. They wanted to make it so it lodges in there and stay in there. So that's the idea of a well-driven nail. But the idea here, it was an agriculture term. It was not simply, you know, nail, hammer, bam. It would the idea, and it would, that particular Hebrew word was used more in the field of agriculture than anything. It would the idea of planting where it took root. Planting where it takes root and taking root to bear fruit. That's what a well-driven nail is here. Proverbs was there to plant truth and wisdom deeply into the mind, so it would be memorable. It was written in such a way that it would be easily memorable. That's the beauty of Proverbs. Some of them even rhyme. That is to help us to remember some of these things. So what we have here is a dual blessing between the goads and a well-played nail. If the idea is to simulate it in our duty and to fix our course so we do not get distracted and wandered off the path. those well-driven truths in our heart and our mind that we keep bringing up to ourselves, not only from reading but from memory, keep those on the path. And let's not remember where the source is. Now, we've been saying Solomon, but we all know the ultimate source of true wisdom comes from God. It says here, the words of the wise are like gold, and the words of the scholars are like well-driven nails, given by one shepherd. And the shepherd is capital S, shepherd, which speaks to the fact that all truth comes from God. All true wisdom comes from Him. It is given by the Lord Himself, who is truly the one great shepherd. So that's why I urge you to meditate on Proverbs to gain wisdom for the rest of your life. I would even urge you and encourage you to read a proverb a day. There are 31 chapters. There's usually 31 days in a month. Read a chapter a day in Proverbs and do it for the rest of your life. And if you forget, you pick up whatever day it's on. You know, if you missed a few days and you pick up on day 13, pick up on Proverbs 13 and keep going, and you'll be glad you did. Point number two, now we can turn back to Proverbs chapter 1. I only thought it was appropriate the more at first I resisted, but the more I saw, no pun intended, the wisdom in choosing the passage, was to remember the purpose of Proverbs. Why did God have a read, and why did He give it this book? Why did He have Solomon and others compile this list of wonderful principles from heaven to teach us how to live in this life? Why did He give it to us? Found in verses 2 through 6. We're just going to briefly go over them. I'm not going to do exactly what I did a year ago on this exposition, but I want to touch on five major things that need to happen from this, that flow from this. Let's read it. Follow along, verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddle. There are five reasons why God gave us this book of wisdom. Number one, it is to urge us to be obedient. To urge us to be obedient. You'll see that in verse 2, the first half of the verse. It said to know wisdom and instruction. Let me key off of the word instruction first of all. I need to remind you what it means. It's not sitting in a classroom where you're passively just learning things from somebody who's going on with some information. This word is the word that means learning through correction. Learning through being rebuked. Learning through being disciplined. In other words, learning that as a result of going down a path and you realize it's wrong, and somewhere, someone, or somehow you have come to realize this is the wrong thing to do, wrong way to think, wrong way to act. I need to get over here and get corrected. So Proverbs was given to us so that when that time comes, that we would be corrected to live a life of obedience, not disobedience. Now the word know, it said, to know wisdom and instruction. The word know here, in the Hebrew mind to the people of this time, it means to put instruction into practice, or another word, into obedience. These proverbs were not basically suggestions. They're, in a lot of ways, a command, because you're following God's path. And not to follow God's path is disobedience and folly. Failing to do what we know to do is the definition of foolishness. And you will, if you do that, you'll live a life of folly and you'll regret it at the end of your life. So the first thing that we need to understand at the chief aim of the book of Proverbs is to bring divine truth into proper focus, enabling us to look at life through God's eyes and live accordingly, live obediently, live in a way that we would put to action the things we have learned. Number two, Proverbs were given to teach us discernment. Look at the second half of verse 2. To perceive the words of understanding. The word perceive is another word for discernment. What in the world does discernment mean? It is the ability to separate and distinguish what is good and evil. A lot of times Satan likes to keep it together. People who have bad intention want to kind of blur things together to try to get you to think one thing when in reality their intention and meaning and goal at the end is different. You need to have discernment so you can separate the two and make the right decisions in life. Proverbs helped to gain that discernment. The discernment is the ability to look at a situation and to clearly see not only the distinction but all the moving parts. Proverbs was given so we would have a discerning mind. Not to be critical, but learning how to live life that is skillful and successful for His glory, because wisdom is taking knowledge and applying it to life. Wisdom is not simply an academic thing. It is, there's a bad thing. That's why wisdom and knowledge are two different things. When we talk about the knowledge of God, we know that God knows everything. But God not only knows everything in His wisdom, He knows to apply every aspect of His knowledge into application. Best goal with the best means to the goal. Here, Proverbs was given to teach a discernment. A discerning mind can think critically and distinguish truth from error. And here's another thing that is drastically missing today, especially among young people. And that is to anticipate the likely consequences of any given choice. One of the things that Proverbs will help us is to, if I take this course of action, where will it lead me 5, 10, 15 years from now? Where will it take me? When you study, read, and meditate and understand Proverbs, it will help you to understand and help you to see the impact of our decision for tomorrow and for the future. That's why it's important that you don't live for the here and now. You live for the long haul. Number three, Proverbs will help us develop alertness in our walk. Verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity. The word receive carried the idea of mobility. What do I mean? It's the idea of taking something along with you. Proverbs, what's beautiful about Proverbs, if those well-driven nails are in your mind, those well-driven truths are in your mind, you're taking them with you throughout life, and you'll flesh out these things that we see here in verse 3. You'll flesh out wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. You'll have the discernment. You'll have the wisdom. You'll have personify in practice equity. And justice. The idea here is you are, in reading and studying Proverbs, the student of God's instruction, the student of God's Proverbs in wisdom, make this alert for the journey of life, because we take these things with us as we go into life. And it helped it to guide it in the steps to take and in the decision to make and not make. We need to carry wisdom with us our whole life and to be alert along the way. Here's another reason why you need to read, study, and meditate Proverbs daily. Because you need the principles. How many times I have heard throughout my many years of ministry of people saying, what should I do in this given situation? What did God say about this? What would God have me do? Proverbs will help you a long ways in that. Proverbs will help. These Old Testament Proverbs helped us to remain attentive to our surroundings and aware of potential danger that in our journey of life. One of the things we not only had from Proverbs is not only you ought to do this, wise man does this, and the foolish man does this. He gave it many a time warning And we need to heed those warnings. That's the beauty of Proverbs. Number four. Proverbs will help us establish discretion and purpose in life. Verse 4. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. First of all, I wanted to notice who they were targeted right here in these two verses. Young people and the naive. The naive is another one for simple. They basically are those who have not had much experience in life and have not benefited from a godly, biblical framework of wisdom for instruction. A lot of times we learn from one of the Proverbs that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. If you do not correct a child, if you do not discipline a child, that child left to themselves will become a fool by default. They will never accidentally, intuitively, instinctively go in the way of wisdom. It won't happen. Because the heart is sinful, it wants what it wants, whether it makes sense or not. And they want it today. I'll worry about tomorrow. Proverbs will help you to have discretion and purpose in life. That's the idea of a life of prudence. Not being a prude. We know that word is kind of a negative connotation. It's not talking about that. It's talking about having an idea of life that you have discretion and purpose. And a lot of times, the naive, the simple, though they're not full-blown fools yet, but if they don't make a decision to take the path of wisdom, they're going to become fools. Young people, because of their lack of experience in life, why do you think people who want to take advantage of people always take advantage of the younger? Always take advantage of your inexperience and your inability to pick up red flags. They're like workers without tools and soldiers without weapons when they go out into life without wisdom. Then they'll go from the seat of their pants and from the dictate of their heart at the moment, and they will be disappointed. They'll let the world tell them what to do. They'll develop a herd mentality rather than fearing the Lord and living a life of wisdom. Without wisdom, young and naive people approach life poorly equipped. They are not ready. They think they are. They think they can just sheer energy and sheer will. I'm going to do what I want to do. They will always find out that doesn't work. Especially when you don't go His way. Because one of the Proverbs said that the way of a transgressor is hard. He who is being often reproved will be suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. So the idea to these Proverbs offer this intellectual and spiritual equipment to the simple and to those who are naive and young. If you're young, you need Proverbs. Read Proverbs. Study Proverbs. Know Proverbs. May it be part of your life. Number five, it helped you to cultivate a keenness of mind. Not to be an intellectual genius or anything, but to help develop a mind that is sharp. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and the riddle. These things will help us think keenly, think sharply. Divine wisdom will give our mind that razor sharp edge that we need. Too often, if we're dull and blunt and in our thinking, and we can get duped and deceived, and that is not good. You need to have a discerning mind, a keen mind, and a mind that's always available to understand. Okay, I'm coming up to the riddle of life. I'm coming up to a decision. I don't know exactly what to do. Well, the more you have grown in wisdom, the more you'll see it, learn to separate. You'll know how to ask the right questions. You'll observe and you'll look at and come to the, not to mention you'll throw prayer and get some scripture to support you. But the more you know Proverbs and the rest of the Bible, the more you'll have a keenness of mind to help navigate you through life. Because there is a way that is not the way of wisdom, and there's a way that is clearly the life and way of a fool. So any decision that points you toward the fool, don't go there. You go this way. So those are the five major purposes, if you just look at those verses 2-6, that we need to constantly remind ourselves of. One, to urge us to be obedient. Two, to teach us discernment. Three, to develop alertness in our walk. Four, to establish discretion and purpose in life. Five, to cultivate keenness of mind. Chuck Swindoll said this, I thought this was beautifully said, quote, the Proverbs prepare our mind to slice through the layers of falsehood to the core of truth in any matter. Divine wisdom gives us the ability to understand more of life's riddles. Before long, the grind of a merely human viewpoint will slowly be replaced by the wisdom of God's perspective, end quote. Little by little, when you chip away at your human wisdom, leaning to your own understanding, pretty soon you'll have it replaced with God's wisdom and seeing life from God's perspective. That is nothing more than Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Why? So you can prove it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In summary, what is wisdom? What is the purpose of Proverbs? It's living a life of wisdom. It's living a life skillfully in God's way with His blessing. Third point. There's a lot of things we've learned. I just told you all the Proverbs, and we could be here for 11 years on this. So as much as I love Proverbs, I'll spare you, okay? But we can still go through it. There's a lot we have learned through these 31 chapters. I am boiling down, if you're going to have a life of wisdom, these are three musts you must have. If you don't have these, you will never get wisdom. Period. I have boiled it all and did all the work for you. Three things. Number one, and that is we must have a deep reverence for God. Proverbs uses the phrase, the fear of the Lord at the beginning of wisdom. Okay, in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, it said that when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. In other words, it's not until wisdom gets internalized into your heart, mind, soul, and life. When it enters your heart, the entirety of your being. And it not only entered, it is sweet and pleasant. Then and only then will you get the promises that come following, and it will preserve you, it will protect you, it will keep you, it will guide you. Because all of these proverbs, these well-placed truths in your mind and heart are guiding you along the way. On the right path, and the path that is full of blessing. But it all begins with Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord at the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It's not enough to be fearful. You need to know the God of the Bible. And when you understand God of the Bible from His own revelation, not of one of your own making, one of your own choosing. You don't get the smorgasbord God. God has already revealed Himself. It's our duty to find out what He wanted to know about Him. And I'm here to tell you, when you come to grip with the sovereign, great majesty of God, He will be bigger and infinitely larger than you have ever thought possible. And when you start understanding the infinite largeness and bigness and all that He is in every aspect of Him, You will not be flippantly cavalier in his presence. You will have reverence, but a reverence that is coupled with love. So you want a life of wisdom, it all starts with reverencing, having reverence for God. Number two, you must have this. You must have a listening ear. You must listen to God. That's why it starts with Him first. I could have said the listening ear first, but sometimes we listen to the wrong people. The whole purpose of Proverbs is that we would have a listening ear. Even in one of the verses, it said 1 verse 7, it said the fear of the Lord at the beginning of knowledge, but, contrast, the fool despised wisdom and instruction. Why? I don't want that. I want this. Repeatedly, we've been exhorted throughout Proverbs to incline our ear, to lend our ear, to have an ear that listens. Even in Proverbs 25 verse 12, it equates a listening ear with an obedient ear. So, beloved, we need to have a listening ear. Are we listening? When we read His Word, are we just simply reading it so we can say, I did my devotion? Or are you reading to listen, to learn, to grow? Wherever you're at in your Bible, you need to have a deep reverence for God, and we must have a listening ear. And thirdly, because the Word I have already touched on earlier, it comes up repeatedly through, and that is, thirdly, we must have a teachable spirit. Rebels do not learn. People who resist, ignore, reject, do not listen when wisdom, when you may be given gold and you're not listening. It's as if nothing happened. I know there are times when I preach and I'm giving you the eternal Word of God. I am giving you the best thing you could ever hear or listen to in this world. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about your salvation. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did. I'm talking about the truth that is rooted in God's Word. And you're not here because you're out there. You're thinking about what you're doing this afternoon or tomorrow or planning your vacation already. But you're not listening. Nor are you being teachable and being all here to be taught so I can go out this door and live the life that God has called us to live. My job is not to make you listen and make you teachable. That's your job. My job is to bring it right to you. My job is to give you the truth and to be accurate and give His intended meaning. If we're going to have wisdom, part of gaining wisdom is to take correction, rebuke with a teachable spirit. We all know Proverbs 9 where it talks about rebuke a fool, he'll hate you. Rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. Why? A wise man wants more wisdom. A fool doesn't care about wisdom. That's why they hate you and dismiss you. They're not teachable. Every one of us, when it comes to God's Word, God's will, and God's ways, we need to be teachable. And when we're wrong, we need to line up according to His way. That's why it said early in Proverbs chapter 3 and in reiterated in Hebrews chapter 12, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. There's a purpose for it. And what's beautiful, and I already taught it there, I'll remind you. The purpose of chastening and discipline is not punitive, not to punish you, it's to correct you. It's corrective. To be teachable. When God deals with His children and rebukes us and corrects us and chastens us, let's be teachable and take the correction and live a life that is pleasing to Him and His face shines upon us. Amen. So those are the three things. If you want to live a life of wisdom, you must have a deep reverence for God. You must have a listening ear. and you must have a teachable spirit. And let me close with two things. A verse, Proverbs 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. And don't forget the definition I have given from day one on what wisdom is. Wisdom is taking knowledge, applying it to life skillfully, for the good of others, for the glory of God. Worldly wisdom, take knowledge and apply it for self. Godly wisdom, as you see throughout, it would always concern for you as well as the society as a whole. It taking knowledge, applying it to life skillfully for the good of those around, for God's glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this book. And we have just begun to scratch the surface. But we need to move on, and may everyone enjoy in their own personal reading and studying and meditating upon these proverbs, have their life ever increasing and growing in wisdom. May their life be blessed as a result of it. And Father, if there is anyone here today, their greatest need is not to gain wisdom, they need forgiveness. If they do not know Christ, if they do not know you and have not been forgiven of their sin, their greatest need is Jesus Christ himself. They need to realize that he and he alone took their place, and it's only by faith in his work on their behalf that salvation is granted, that salvation and forgiveness and reconciliation can take place. Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, may the Holy Spirit convict them and draw them to the Son, draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ to see not only their need, but see him in all of his power, beauty, and glory as our Savior and Redeemer. May they come. May they come today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.